What the fuck is up, luscious ass babes? Welcome back to the Hustle Like a Stripper podcast. I am here with Shima. She is an amazing love healing coach. She's also my mastermind sister. And just wait until you hear this fucking accent, because you're gonna die. Oh, how are you, babe?
I'm good. How are you? I'm paranoid to talk now. I'm like, okay, let me get this accent really perfect.
It's like, let me make sure that it's really impressive. No, to most of my listeners' ears that are American, it's going to be very impressive. So.
Oh, yay.
you don't even have to try. I'm so excited for you to be here today. We're going to talk about some seriously juicy shit. I think that we're going to discuss some things that we all need more of in our lives, right? Feeling yes. worthy of good things, not using blocks as an excuse to not move forward, right?
Yes.
Relationships. I know that we can all continuously improve our relationships.
Yes.
There's always completely. More room for improvement. So that's what I love. I love what you do so much. I'd love to know more in depth about exactly what it is that you do.
Sure. So I guess I've been on a little bit of a journey myself. I started with a very kind of psychology academic background. And then as I went through life, I was like, actually, like what I'm going to call mainstream, like the clinical side of psychology in the UK, at least, it's understandably regulated a lot. And what that means is that you can't explore as much of the slightly more esoteric side or the slightly quirkier side. So a lot of the things that you talk about, Lauren, like energy, vibration, the universe, all of these kind of the more spiritual side, if you like. So as I went on my journey and I realized, okay, great, I'm studying psychology, I'm learning about how people think, but I need something deeper, especially when it came to like romantic relationships. I was like, I don't like this mindset that we're all just a victim. Or not even a victim, I guess we're all just kind of waiting and hoping that, okay, my man or my woman is just going to turn up. Like, I'll just wait. I was like, that feels disempowered to me. So I started reading books about how energetically you can call your person in. And that kind of set me off on my whole journey. And through that journey, I've been learning, and I'm still learning, a lot about what happens when you are either trying to or when you have actually called that person in. And whether even I'm not saying like it's always a magical instant perfect experience, because definitely for me it wasn't. I called in a couple of people who were good, but I had to really evaluate, is this really my forever person? And I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that, because sometimes there are behaviors that come into it. And for me, at least, sometimes I was like, okay, but he's good here, so I'll just excuse that. And this is a bit of a red flag, but I don't want to be single, so I'll just excuse that. And that can become a very slippery slope. So yeah, there's all of that leads to what I do, which is teaching women, especially women who have been through toxic relationships or who are in toxic relationship, how to heal. And when they're ready, if they're ready, how to pull in their perfect partner.
Oh, my goodness. My fucking goodness. I'm... Ooh, that's juicy. I love it. I'm really fascinated by love. I'm also fascinated by relationships. And I'm fascinated in particularly by abusive and toxic relationships, especially my experiences in them. And just the way they wear different masks. You know, I was in an abusive relationship when I was a teenager. I actually met my husband through this abusive relationship. So everyone, like, you never really know what's going to happen. I'm fascinated by how things have transpired. And it's the best relationship I've ever had. I mean, obviously, he's my husband now, but I have an amazing marriage as a result of this really shitty situation. But I also was in a toxic relationship with a woman after that abusive relationship before I got with my husband officially. And what was interesting is that it wasn't inherently toxic. I went from being in an abusive relationship to being with someone that didn't necessarily value me as a human being, but they kind of saw me as like a trophy or something to show off to their friends and someone to buy gifts for. And it was very shallow. And it was like a manipulative situation where I was being manipulated into staying with them because they did nice things for me. And I love what you were saying. I love what you were saying when you were talking about how, well, I mean, they're good in this area and it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not being hit or anything. So fuck it. Like, I find that so often in relationships we settle because it's not bad or it's not terrible. And toxic relationships, they have varying levels of intensity. It's fascinating.
Completely, completely. And I think that's why, like, dating now, I'm very clear. Like, I've made a list of my deal breakers from the get-go, and I'm like, anybody who violates any of these deal breakers, that's it. And it's hard sometimes because you think, oh, but he's so great and he's so hot and he's so lovely and maybe I can just kind of, you know, wobble a little bit here. But I think it's really important to know what your deal breakers are and really to just know that for yourself. I mean, I know we're going to touch on worthiness as well, but there will be someone who meets all of those things. And yes, there's always going to be things to work out in a relationship. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but in terms of what you fundamentally need, there will be somebody who meets your fundamental needs.
I agree. 1000%. I think a lot of times women are afraid. I mean, this, I feel like this is such a, this topic or this idea, this perspective, I see it play out a lot of times with women is like, we're afraid to ask for too much or be too much. So we don't want to be too specific and say, oh, I won't allow that in, or I'm not going to allow that, or to take a strong stance on something, because it's like, what if we're closing the door? What if that, what if we're making the wrong decision? What if that's too much?
Yes. Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And I think that's when you really have to understand that there's also a power in your singleness, because I get what you mean. And a lot of my clients come to me and say, well, what if I'm single then? What if I, you know, I put these demands out and then, you know, nobody comes along, or nobody comes along for a while. And I'm like, that's good, right? Because what you're saying is, I'll settle and I'll kind of compromise a little bit on my happiness for the sake of having the badge of being in a relationship. But then what you really need to look at is, why do you need that badge of having a relationship? What I ask my clients is, what do you think your singleness is saying about you? And a lot of the time they think, well, I'm not worthy then. You know, if I'm single, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. And you have to, it's important to reframe and say, actually, being single is a really empowered choice, because what you're saying is, I'm not settling. I'm not settling until I find someone who meets my fundamental needs. So actually, sometimes being single takes a lot more strength than being in a not perfect or a not right for you relationship.
I agree. Fuck, I would much rather be single than not being wowed, or like, I'm saying, I feel like, man, we get to be wowed by the people that we're going to spend our lives with or spend all of this time and energy with. Like, we get to be wowed. It doesn't mean that this person is going to be perfect, or that there's never going to be bumps in the road, or there's never going to be arguments. But fundamentally, yes, I do believe you get to be wowed in your fucking relationship. And if you're not being wowed, there's something wrong.
Totally, completely, yes. And if you find yourself like making excuses, I mean, this happened to me as well. Like, my family and my friends were like, so for example, one of my things was, I've always wanted to get married. Marriage is one of my kind of goals, or whatever you want to call it. And my ex was a great person, especially at the beginning, but he didn't want to get married. And I did this thing was, okay, well, maybe I can not get married, or maybe I can, he's great in these areas, I'll just compromise on this. And what then happens is you find that starts feeding into every single thing in the relationship. You know, it starts bugging you, I start picking fights, I'm never happy, but I kept it because I was like, well, I don't want to be single. And this is where the whole slippery slope comes in. So yeah, what you were saying about getting to be wowed, yeah, I totally hear you on that. And now it's like, it's come to the point where it's like, that's on my list. Like, when I'm dating, it's like a man who is open to marriage, because I don't want to have that same argument again. Or you don't want to feel like you have to change someone in order to be happy. That's another thing my clients go through. Oh, he's great, I'm just going to keep at him until he changes this. And I'm like, if you can't be happy until he changes, you're both going to be miserable, like, legit.
Oh my God. It's so fucking true. And I've seen this again. It's, this goes into like manifestation. Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened with that. I just turned my phone on airplane mode. Still somehow an alarm goes off, of course. Oh. But there's this fear, like, if I take this strong stance on something, then I'm going to lose out on something, right? If I set clear boundaries, that means I'm going to lose out. But in fact, you're just weeding out the people that don't fit those boundaries.
Exactly.
Why set yourself up for failure and, you know, be with someone and spend all this time pouring into someone when your values and your morals are completely different. I think this is something my husband and I talk a lot about because, you know, everyone, when we got married, they're like, oh, enjoy your honeymoon phase, or, oh yeah, enjoy it while it lasts. But it's kind of that attitude when it comes to marriage. But it's interesting because I know who the fuck I married. Like, I know him,
right,
like, through and through. I know his faults. I know what he likes and doesn't like. I know what I can expect of him and what I can't fucking expect of him, right?
Like, sure.
I know who the fuck I married. So I feel like if you do know the person that you're with and that you agree and have harmony on these fundamental levels that are the most important to both of you, there's no way that you can lose. It's not going to be perfect, but I do think that that is so fucking important to be on the same page. I think people get together and they get married and they hope that, oh, this is just going to settle itself down the road. Or, you know, I mean, it doesn't bother me that much, but they're not being honest about the fact that, yes, that does bother me that fucking much. And then it's like, you set yourself up for failure in that way. Yes. And you're doing a disservice not only to yourself, but to the other person, because they could also be with someone that is in alignment with their values and their morals and what it matters to them most.
Yes. Yeah, completely. I completely hear you. And I think if somebody's looking for signs, like, how do I know if I'm settling? How do I know if I'm okay with this or if this is going to be a persistent irritation for me? I think inspect how it's manifesting in your relationship. For example, if you feel like it's constantly you against the other person, that's, and I mean, you can talk, I'm sure you would know even more about this being married. I think that's a point of concern, because ideally, and it won't always be like this, but ideally, I guess your default state should be like you guys against the world. And again, I see this in clients so much where they're like, he just won't see it this way. And I feel like really losing it with him because I, you know, why doesn't he see I'm right? And I'm like, honey, you're both right. It's okay. He's not against you. This is not a war. And it's up to you to see exactly like you were saying, Lauren, who is this man or this woman? Let me really get to know them. And then let me ask myself, if this person never changed, this is what I always say to them, if this person never changed, would I be satisfied? And if the answer is no, you really need to take a good hard look at that.
Ooh, there's something that oh my God, everything you said, I fucking love it so much. There's something that I always say when my friends ask me for advice or they come to me about things. I'm like, I know that you love them, but love ain't always enough. And that's okay for love to not always be enough. You can love somebody and they could be totally fucking wrong for you. That's okay. Look, I loved my exes and they sucked, you know?
Yeah.
Like love, it really, God, it's so fucking true. It's not, and I think there's this worry too, like, oh, what if that's selfish of me? Or what if that makes me a bitch? It's like, no, you're doing yourself a service, but you're also doing someone else a service. Do you really want to be married 20 years down the line and you realize that you don't actually know this person and it's not that they aren't the person that you thought, it's just that you ignored the red flags, or you ignored the signs, or you were just trying to make them fit into the box that you were trying to shove them in, right? And it's like, at what point is it even their fault? You know, it's really, that's why what you're doing is so important, is putting the power back into your client's hands.
Yes. Yeah. And another thing you just reminded me when you were talking is, and again, please let me know how this works when you're married. I think a lot of the time people start seeing their partner as a reflection on them. So things that wouldn't bother me. So for example, I'm teetotal, I don't drink, and many of my friends drink, and I don't bat an eyelid, and they don't bat an eyelid at the fact that I don't drink, like it's not an issue. But when I've dated in the past, and I'm not like this anymore, but when I've dated in the past and the guy used to drink, it used to really be like, oh my God, yeah, but I don't drink. And is that going to work? And like, why, you know, is this a good thing and all of this? And what was really going on for me? Because like, really, it really shouldn't matter. He drinks, I don't drink. It really, I mean, for some people that might be a barrier, but when I think about it, really what I was making it about was, I almost feel like we should be in sync on absolutely everything, because that's the only way we can be a cohesive couple. when actually that doesn't really necessarily have to be the case. And actually, would you really want someone who's exactly the same as you, who thinks exactly the same, who does everything exactly the same? Isn't that going to be a little bit boring? Sometimes these like differences can be really interesting, can make it even more fun.
Oh yeah. Cause I love that. Cause I think when we're talking about being in sync with your partner, like knowing your partner doesn't mean that you always agree or that you're the same or that you do the same things or even think the same way. It's just, is this person compatible with me? Like, do we have the same morals? Like, do we have the same ideals? And even if we don't, is that going to bother me down the road?
Exactly.
Is that going to get under my skin? Because you might differ from your partner or somebody and you can still get along because you really don't give a fuck that much, right? But if it's something that you care about, that's when it needs to come into, the differences need to be taken into account. And fuck, when you think about it, I mean, my husband and I are so different. We're very alike in the fact that we're both like introverted and we're both creatives and, you know, we both like to spend a lot of time together, but we also like to have our separate time together and we need our space. But we are very fucking different people. We've had very different fucking lifestyles. Like, he's never stepped foot in a strip club in his whole
Bitch,
like, I step foot in a strip club every goddamn night when I work in the club, right? So we are very different fucking people with very different views of the world and emotions and ways of processing. Like, he's very patient and I'm very not patient. And right. So we're very different people, but the fact is we're harmonious together and we lift each other up and we bounce off of each other. And what's important to him is important to me. And we're harmonious together. We're not alike in a lot of ways. But we do work together well. So yeah, I agree totally. Like, being exactly the same as your partner. I mean, I like to drink more. He likes to smoke. I don't smoke. You know, we have different stuff that we do or the other one doesn't do. And there's nothing to be afraid of being with someone that is different than you. But it's really just about, like, does that bother me? Is that against what I'm for? Does it make me fucking uncomfortable? That's such a great question to ask. Like, am I uncomfortable with this? I feel like if you are, if you're looking at your partner kind of like, oh my fucking God, like, I'm uncomfortable, that's kind of a sign like, oh shit, maybe this isn't right.
Yeah, completely. Because then, like you say, it manifests into, it's fine. Well, we can change that later.
Let's get married. Well, you know what? Let's have a kid. And that will solve all of the problems. No. The logic. It's like, oh man, let's complicate this relationship and the dynamics even more. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. Do you want to have children?
Yes, but a bit like we're talking about, I would want to have kids after marriage and I would want to be married for, let's say, I don't know how long, but for a period of time where I really feel like my husband and I have a really unshakable foundation. Because I think from what I hear from the people I know who have kids, kids can put a strain on a relationship and it's understandable. You've got the sleepless nights, you've got another person you got to care for completely. So I think once I've enjoyed child-free life a little bit with my husband, then sure. How about you?
I agree totally with what you said. But I don't know if I want kids. I'm pretty like 99% sure that I don't want them. Who knows? Maybe my mind will change when I'm like 30 something and, you know, chilling on a couple million, maybe I'll feel like popping a few out, you know? But as for me, I agree, because especially where I'm at in my life, you know, I'm in my early 20s and I see the reality that children bring. And even though it's really beautiful to see kids grow up and, you know, the experience, I'm sure if I'm with the person that I would have kids with, like, bottom line, like, if I was going to have kids, I'm with the perfect person. I know that we would be great parents and everything, but it goes back to that point where it's like, I love child-free life. And I know that that would change completely with having a kid. And something else in relationships, I feel like a lot of times people don't take that into account. They're not really thinking about the fact that children are going to change change everything. Doesn't mean that you still can't live or still can't have a business or still can't do things, but it does change the dynamic of your relationship. And I, you know, we've honestly, my husband and I, we honestly ask ourselves, like, do we really want that to change? Not really.
Sure.
Not really. And I think that's so, that's so powerful to have for couples, is not just doing what you think that everyone else is doing or what you think is right, but what do you actually want? And what is that actually going to look like for you down the road? Is that actually the life you want to live?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And I get actually really frustrated when I see newlywed couples or even couples who've been married for a while, and people keep asking them, so when are the babies coming?
Oh, my God.
Do you get that?
Oh, my God, all the time. They're like, oh, my God, so when are you guys going to have kids? When are you guys going to finally, you know, like, or God, my mom loves, she's like, where are my grandchildren? Come on. Like, yeah, or people are like, are you gonna have kids? Like, always asking just that. Yeah. And then I'm like, no, probably not. And then they're like, oh, you'll change your mind. You'll change your mind. And I'm like, pretty sure that I won't, but thanks, I guess. Such a weird, it's kind of funny that, you know, we're living in 2020, but so many things are still like old fashioned as fuck, like that. Like a woman not wanting kids, like, is something wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I find that as well. Yeah. Or as soon as people get into a relationship, oh my God, are you guys going to get engaged? Are you going to get married? I'm like, they've been together 2 months. Like, give them a break. Like, seriously.
Like, but what about the babies? What about the children? Yeah. What about the children? Okay. What about them? Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, love it so much. I wanted to touch more on this topic too. Specific red flags in a toxic relationship, in an abusive relationship. I think this is such a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
Some of the red flags that people can look out for, or things that they can start questioning in their, in their lives.
Okay. I love this question. So let's see. I'll talk this out and let me see if any kind of specific red flags come up. I think to start with, check how his or her behavior makes you feel. And if it's making you feel in any type of way inadequate, it could be a couple of things. It might not necessarily be them. It could be a trigger for you and something for you to look at. But it also could be them acting in some type of way. So I'll give you an example. I'm dating right now. And the other day, I had like a text exchange with somebody. I haven't actually met him because we've only started talking after lockdown. And then he was like, okay, great, we'll meet after lockdown or something. And I just left it. And then like a month later, he starts messaging and saying, you didn't reply to my last text message. Why? And I'm like, all right, red flag, honey. First of all, this is just like a casual interaction. Why are you already putting these kind of parameters on it or these pressures on me when we haven't even kind of kicked off? And maybe with some people, I don't know, would some people be okay with that? But for me, anyway, that was a massive red flag. And I was like, if he's like this now, when we haven't even started, this is only going to get worse. So check for these things. That's a really good point, Lauren, actually. Check for these things really early on, because chances are something may start really small and you may say, that's not too bad. Just keep an eye, because if it's growing, if it starts becoming worse and worse until he's saying, I called you last night, where were you? And all of these kind of things, that's definitely a red flag to be wary of.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always early signs. And I feel like if you get the inkling or the intuitive nudge, it's probably fucking correct. You know, normally we overthink. And when you're getting into a toxic situation with somebody, it's almost like they kind of play on that worry or that doubt where they're like, no, you're crazy. I think I'm trying to think of some of the early warning signs of my like really toxic abusive relationship. And there was a lot of like subtle putting me down.
Just
in ways that maybe were, that may have been looked over at first glance or were kind of written off as jokes, like, oh, you're so stupid, or like, oh no, that doesn't matter, or something like that. Like just like subtly putting me down in ways that it would make me question, like, did they really just put me down? I feel like if you're having to make a lot of excuses for somebody to your friends and family, and you're always making excuses, and then you just stop telling people about your relationship, and you stop even bringing them up because you don't even want to hear it. That's also a really big one. That was a big one for me. And whenever I see my friends, like I notice them kind of like withdrawing or like avoiding me or like not talking to me about things, I'm just kind of like, I feel like something's going on, because it always is. Cause when we withdraw from the people around us that are our sounding boards and our trustworthy people, that gives a toxic person, an abusive person, a chance to really take the reins when there's no one around you, when you feel like you can't turn to anybody and you're afraid that you'll look stupid. And let's see. When everything's always your fault.
Yes.
Cause when I, in my relationship now, I mean, we both fuck up or we're both assholes sometimes. And you know, like that's just the way it goes. It's just the way we are. We're humans. But I notice now when we fight, when we come back, we always both apologize because we both did something that we could have not done or done better. And that's such a huge departure from that last relationship, the abusive relationship. It was always my fault. I was always ending up apologizing and I was always ending up feeling guilty no matter what it was. Even if I was getting hit, like even if like he came home late after not messaging me all night and ignoring my phone calls, somehow I was the one that ended up apologizing, and it was always my fault and my guilt. So if you're noticing in your relationship that it's always your fault somehow, it's not just anyone's fault all the time, unless you're a complete dick, which you're listening to this podcast, I know you're not.
No.
Like, I know you're not. So that was a big one too, where I realized after so long, I'm like, damn, like I've been brainwashed to believe that just everything is my fault all the time.
Yes.
I'm always apologizing. And that was another big one for me.
Yeah, completely. And I think what you're saying about having like a safe person or a safe number of people to check in with these things is so important, because like you say, it can be really confusing. Like, oh, okay, I did that though. Is it my fault? Is it my trigger? Or is this really something that I need to get concerned about? So have those people that you trust. There may be some people in your life that like love the drama. Maybe don't go to them for advice. But the people who you really trust, the people who you know have your back and who will give you like an honest opinion, that it's so, so important for sure.
Yeah. And that was the biggest thing. That's why I was in that relationship for so long, because this person, like I was alienated from all of my friends and my family. Like I was fighting with everyone. And they set it up that way by like painting everyone else as the villain and painting everyone else as they don't know, they don't understand. Yeah. So if that's happening to every single person in your life, that's also another thing to watch out for, because it happened like that. I didn't even realize.
Right.
Until I really was looking at the situation like, damn, like I don't have anyone that I can really turn to right now.
Right. Like, yes.
And that's how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd love your thoughts on, I have quite a low threshold when it comes to people outwardly expressing anger. Like I get anger as an emotion. Anger can be a really healthy emotion, but whenever it comes to a man like raising his voice or getting in any type of way aggressive, I'm like, this is a red flag exit. So I would always say to people, choose a partner who expresses anger healthily. But then I'd love your perspective. What would you say, and again, in your relationship, like how do you guys express anger, and what would you say is healthy ways to express anger?
Anger is definitely a tough one because it doesn't always feel healthy, right? And then especially like, you know, throwing stuff or yelling or like just getting really pissed. Like I hate yelling. I hate throwing shit. I hate it. But my husband and I have definitely fucking had fights like that where we've like both like thrown stuff or we've yelled and we've screamed and we've gotten in each other's faces. Like we've never gotten physical with each other, but like we'll get in each other's faces like, hey, fuck you. Like we've definitely, we've totally done those before. That was more early on in our relationship and that was like kind of more fiery. But now it's like we have different ways. I'm definitely more like, I'm going to try his life and kind of push his buttons and be like, yeah, start a fight with me, motherfucker. Start a fight. Let's do it. I'm ready. Yeah. And I'll be fucking extra. And he's more like, he'll withdraw and just totally like just shrink up and like get really quiet. And then he'll fucking explode. Like, if I prod him enough.
I do that.
I'm like, yep. I'm like, come on. Let it out. Take it out on me. And then he's like, fuck, like, I can't anymore, right? So, yeah, we honestly don't fight that much anymore. We rarely fight. We actually did have a fight, like, a stupid one the other night. And we were both, like, yelling, and then we just started laughing in the middle of yelling, because we're just like, this is
stupid.
Like, yeah, that's kind of how we fight now, where it's like, we yell a little bit, but then we're just like, oh, fuck it, whatever, come here. And then we're like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, no, I'm sorry. Nope.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's pretty much how we fight now. Yeah, it's definitely scary. I think that the biggest thing with anger in relationships is, like, just being willing to admit when you're wrong and not just, like, being so holding on to your pride. Like, being with someone that never wants to admit they're wrong, that's, like, a deal breaker for me.
Sure.
You know, like, never wanting to take any kind of responsibility. So I think even if you yell sometimes, or even if you throw things sometimes, or even if it feels like, I think violence is a deal breaker for sure. Like, not, obviously not, like, physically fighting each other, but, you know, having fights. I feel like as long as both people are willing to come together and hear each other out, I think that's the healthy component of it. Even if maybe the fight itself isn't always constructive, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we both were wrong. We both could have done better. Like, let's figure it out. And, like, hear the other person and, like, validate their feelings and their experience. I think that's the most important thing.
Sure. Yeah, completely. And I think also from what you've said, fighting fair. Because I see a lot of clients, and in their relationships, either they or their partner will start bringing up things that have nothing to do with the argument. And some really hurtful things can be said. So, I mean, I know we're not perfect. Sometimes we say stuff we regret, but if as much as possible, you can just remember through the fight, I really love this person though. And, like, it's not your intention to hurt them. You may be triggered in that moment. You may be angry. Maybe they pissed you off. Fine. But just remember something that actually one of our mastermind babes said the other day, Caitlin, people are always doing the best with what they have. So just remember that about your partner as well. Like, they love you. They don't want to hurt you. And if they pissed you off, have a conversation about it totally, but try not to be too mean, I guess, in where you go in the argument.
Yeah. Fighting fair, it is. Because that's something that with time, my husband and I have just, like, refined our fighting style. But, you know, we both used to say shit just to piss each other off, like, just to make each other mad. Or, like, oh, I know you don't like when I say this. I'm going to say it. And, like, we would do it. Like, it's like once you know somebody and you know their intimate details and their worries and fears, it's like, I can play this for my benefit. So that's something that we've stopped doing. And that makes fighting a lot healthier when it's not just like, I'm going to see how much I can dig on you.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. That's a big one. Oh man. I want to talk about feeling worthy of a relationship and keeping track of your own worthiness in the relationships that you get in. I think this is something that women can lose sight of, or they worry about when they're single, and strippers specifically have worries around, like, feeling worthy of a relationship.
Yes. Yeah, completely. So I think the default thing you always want to come back to is you are worthy, and it's not even, like, try not to put any parameters on it. I never say to clients, oh, but you're worthy because you're hot, or, you know, you're worthy even because you're a good person, or you're worthy because you do this for a living, or you don't do that for a living. Literally, and I think you've mentioned this before, Lauren, you are literally born worthy, and of everything, of a relationship, of doing the career you love, of abundance, of everything, you are literally born worthy. And I think that's something to come back to. If it, ever the thought goes through your head, I do this for a living, so I'm not worthy. No, you are choosing to do that for a living. It's serving you right now. You are 150,000,000% worthy of love, of the big vision board love. I mean, I see people sometimes who really kind of have unhealthy relationship dynamics in terms of how they treat the other person. And I look at them and I think, but you're still worthy. You know, just because you have your own stuff going on, it doesn't mean you're not worthy. And it's the same as a stripper, as whatever you do for a living, whatever age you are. I have women who come to me and say, but I'm this age, so I'm too old. No, of course not. Of course not. You are always worthy. So if you're struggling with that, I think self-love is an amazing thing to tap into. Do a self-love meditation. It might not be something that, you know, gets solved overnight, but consistency here is key. Do a self-love meditation every day. And remember, what would you say to a friend? You know, a stripper friend who comes to you and says, oh, yeah, but I don't feel worthy of a decent enough relationship because I'm a stripper. Would you let her get away with that? I doubt it.
Mm-mm. No. No, it is. It's funny. It's literally just what is done for work. And that's it. That's all it means. I know, like, a lot of times society or even men or just any person in general or even strippers themselves, like ourselves, we make it mean something about us or our morals or our worthiness. But it's literally like signed, sealed, delivered. It just means that's what you do for an occupation. And that's it.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
And that's all it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know more about self-love. Can that, because that can seem like such a, it's definitely hard for me sometimes to like love yourself actually unconditionally.
Yes.
It can be hard to tap into that. So I want to know more about like your self-love journey and how you help your clients with that.
Yeah. Okay. So I think first of all, it starts with just looking at the areas where maybe you've just accepted that this is who you are and it's just turned into a pattern in life. So for example, a big one for me was, and still is sometimes, really worrying about criticism. Like I'm a massive, if you were to say, I'll just give you some feedback, immediately my heart starts thumping and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, what are they going to say? And this is going to make me feel not good enough. But actually, really, if I was really totally and solid in self-love, nothing you could say to me should make me feel not good enough. But I'm on the journey. I'm not 100% there yet. And I think that's really from what you were just saying as well. It's important to realize, like even you, Lauren, you're a total inspiration, amazing. You know so much about all of the laws of spirituality and everything. Maybe you still have some days where you don't feel completely in the space of self-love. I definitely get that totally.
Most days, you know, it's like a practice. It's like a conscious thing you gotta like think about and chug along a lot. Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely.
Totally. And that's one of the main points. Be gentle with yourself. Even if you have days where you don't love yourself, even if you have days where you criticize yourself, even if you have days where you don't feel good enough or where someone says something. I'm at the point now, whenever someone says something and I feel shaky, I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be totally like grounded in my self-worth. There will be days where there is shakiness and that is okay. But I think just the very fact that, you know, you're bringing this up and the very fact that people are going to be thinking about self-love, that's so important. And if it can become, like I say, part of your daily practice, just something, even if it's not like, oh, I'm gonna sit here and meditate and think about how much I love myself, even if it's just doing something which you love doing, whatever that is for you, maybe it's a self-care practice, maybe it's something you do with other people, and just really realize, again, come back to the affirmation, I am worthy, and I'm doing this because I'm worthy, just by the very fact that I exist.
Right. I mean, we're all here on this planet. We exist. We're here. So why not love yourself? I mean, fuck. And when you think about just how many people had to survive in order for us to be here right now, like all of our ancestors and all the shit they went through, like, bitch, you were meant to be here. Like,
of course, it was
like 0.001% chance that you would even be conceived and born in this time right now, bitch. You need to love your damn self. You're made of stardust.
Yes. I hear that stuff sometimes, the probability of us being born, and it's such a tiny percentage, and it comes through everything, right? Our ancestors, biology, the probability of our parents meeting and then having a baby. There's so many things that had to happen. You're absolutely right to put you right here. So why wouldn't you be? And you were conceived out of love. I mean, that act in itself, that's an act of love. So of course you are loved. Yeah.
Mm. I love that so much. Right. Oh, yes. This is so good. Yeah, it's like you're actually going against nature by hating yourself because we're made from love and you are fucking love. Oh, my goodness. This is so good. I want to talk about, we were talking about this before we hopped on, about blocks, like using blocks, like mindset blocks or emotional blocks or whatever it is, using blocks as an excuse. And you were talking about how clearing out resistance can actually be easier than we think sometimes. I want to know all about this because I love this topic so much.
Yeah, so I think sometimes, let's say we're trying to create something, let's say we're trying to call in our perfect person, and let's say it's not happening for a while, what we can do is we can think, we can, like, let's say go all the way back to our childhood and start thinking, okay, but maybe was there something in my childhood that affected this? Is it something else that affected that? And I think acknowledging that you may have blocks, acknowledging that you may have resistance to creating something is great, but sometimes all it takes to shift that block or to shift that resistance is to say, okay, I want to call in the love of my life. Do I feel good about this? No. That means I'm blocked. How can I feel good about this? And it's literally as simple as that. And practicing the feeling good in itself starts erasing the blocks without you having to go really deep and start, you know, really digging into the really deep reasons as to why you might have those blocks. Mm-hmm. There are some techniques that really, really help with this. So like tapping, I don't know if you're familiar with tapping.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So that's emotional freedom tapping. That's so, so good at releasing blocks. And again, you don't have to know the deep seated reason. All you need to do is, let's say the script going on in your head is, I'm not worthy of a loving, committed relationship. All you do is tap on the energy points and say, even though I don't feel worthy, even though sometimes I don't love myself, even though whichever excuse you've given for not being good enough, I'm totally fucking worthy of an incredible relationship. I trust I'm going to get an incredible relationship. I'm calling in that relationship right now. And keep doing that until you 100% believe it. And there you go. Block removed. Whatever that block was, wherever it came from, removed. Boom.
Boom. Oh my gosh. Okay. So like, can we do like a tap session? Like, can you
Sure. Like,
lead us on one?
Sure.
Like,
let's do it.
That would be really fucking cool. Like,
yeah.
Now that you're talking about it, I'm like, I haven't tapped in a while. I'd like to tap into some
Let's do some tapping for you, Lauren. What are you feeling cool to tap?
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, I think my biggest thing right now is definitely, I mean, it ties into what we were talking about, like worthiness, like feeling unworthy or like not successful enough or like not enoughness is something really big. I think this ties in perfectly with our topic as well.
Okay, perfect. And is there something specific you're calling in with the being enough, or is it just in general?
I think just in general, and just wanting more ease in my business and in my life.
Okay.
For it to be, okay, cool. Like, to feel like it's enough, you know, like, in like that I'm enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to go through. So it's going to be a little bit trickier to do this without a video, but though there are, you literally just need to go onto YouTube and Google tapping videos, and there are some great ones. But what we're going to do is I'll start with the tapping. So take your two fingers, so your index finger and your middle finger, and you're going to tap really lightly above your eyebrows, really lightly just under your eyes, sort of on that fleshy bit, on your just above your upper lip, on your chin, on your collarbones, just under your collarbones, and then under your arms, sort of where the bra strap is. If you're wearing a bra.
Nope.
No, I was like, oh, is she wearing a bra? Yeah, just under your, sort of where your armpits are. And then I'm just going to try and intuitively talk and see if it helps you release stuff.
Ooh,
should we go for it?
Yeah, that's why. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So we're just tapping over the eyebrows and we're just saying the affirmations. Sometimes I don't feel worthy.
Sometimes I don't feel worthy.
Sometimes I don't feel like I'm enough.
Sometimes I don't feel I'm enough.
Sometimes I question myself.
Sometimes I question myself.
Sometimes I look at my past.
Sometimes I look at my past.
And I wonder whether I'm enough right now.
And I wonder if whether I'm enough right now.
It can feel really tight.
It can feel really tight.
And really negative.
And really negative.
When I don't feel like I'm enough.
When I don't feel like I'm enough.
And I want to feel like I'm enough.
And I want to feel like I'm enough.
I want to feel like I'm worthy.
I want to feel like I'm worthy.
I want to feel like by default, I love myself.
I want to feel like by default, I love myself.
Whatever has happened in my past.
Whatever has happened in my past.
Whatever I'm doing in the present.
Whatever I'm doing in the present.
I release and let go.
I release and let go
of any unworthiness.
Of any unworthiness.
I am worthy just because I exist.
I am worthy just because I exist.
I am always worthy.
I'm always worthy.
I have always been worthy.
I have always been worthy.
And I will always be worthy.
And I will always be worthy.
I am always enough.
I am always enough.
I always have exactly what I need.
I always have exactly what I need.
To create exactly what I want.
To create exactly what I want.
I have more than enough resources.
I have more than enough resources.
And I'm so much more than enough as a person.
I'm so much more than enough as a person.
To call in exactly what the fuck I want.
To call in exactly what the fuck I want. Mm.
I love myself.
I love myself.
I love myself so fucking much.
I love myself so fucking much.
I will always love myself.
I will always love myself.
I love myself first and foremost.
I love myself first and foremost.
And whatever has happened in my past.
And whatever has happened in my past.
Whatever is happening in my present.
Whatever is happening in my present.
And whatever will happen in my future.
And whatever will happen in my future.
I will always love myself.
I will always love myself.
I will always love myself so, so, so much.
I will always love myself so, so, so much.
So, so, so much.
So, so, so much.
Forever and forever and forever.
Forever and forever and forever.
I promise this now.
I promise this now.
To myself.
To myself.
As I witness.
As I witness.
Embody, mind, and spirit.
Embody, mind, and spirit.
So be it, and so it is.
And so be it, and so it is.
And then what you do just to end the tapping, just grab hold of your wrist, just exhale, and say the word peace to yourself.
Peace.
And just really feel the peace and feel all of that negativity just releasing and going, and it's never going to come back to you anymore.
Oh, wow, that was awesome.
Was that good? Did you feel that?
Yeah, like I felt it in my body. I'm like, wow. I feel like I just did a shot or something. I'm like, wow.
Yay.
Dang, we don't even need alcohol on this show. My God. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's good. That was nice.
Yay. And you can vary it. You can do it longer if you want. Like, really just go out yourself. And like I say, anything you want to create. So let's say you want to be saying, I'm so fucking worthy of an amazing relationship. And just go tap it, tap it, tap it until you really feel it.
Ooh. I love that. Yeah. And for everyone that was following along, however you tapped, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. That was awesome. Thank you so much. That was
I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I want to talk about this because, you know, I've been talking about this over the last few weeks. I want to continue talking about this because it's so important. Needs to keep being talked about. The Black Lives Matter movement and navigating this movement as a coach and how this is going to change your business going forward. I want to know.
Yeah, so thank you. And I think it's such an important conversation to have. And like, I'm based here in UK, and we have totally felt this here in UK, and it's been amazing. We've had people protesting. We've had people having conversations that we've like never had. I don't know if you heard, we've got statues of people, of white supremacists, and yeah,
wow.
We've had campaigners going and either dragging the statues down or like creating a campaign to take the damn statues down. And this is so important, and I'm so happy right. It's happening right now. As a coach, I think it's so important to be having this conversation. I want to focus on learning. I think there's so much for me to learn. When I think about, for example, privilege in terms of anything in life, I think I have so much to learn about where maybe I've been privileged where I don't even know or where I haven't even recognized it. So I think going forward in the business, that's something I really want to talk about. That's something I want to learn about. That's something I want to talk to fellow coaches about. I want to talk to my clients about. And I really want to open that conversation, like, especially it's around race, but it's also around things like gender, around gender fluidity. I was talking to a friend and a fellow coach the other day about how I, as a cis female, heterosexual cis female, I don't necessarily know the struggles that someone goes through, for example, when they walk into a restaurant and if they're non-binary or if they're trans, like when they see toilets for men, toilets for women and no other option, like what does that feel like and how does that affect you? So yeah, sorry, I'm going off the race topic now, but I just want to talk about it in terms...
No, it's on point, you're good.
Yeah, yeah, in terms of privilege or around assumptions that I may make, I really want to educate myself and I just want to learn from everyone on this.
Yes. Yeah, because we have to keep that in mind now going forward, making our offerings and our messaging and everything more inclusive for everybody and keeping in mind that we're not always going to understand what people have gone through, but knowing that we're not going to be able to understand, but we do have a responsibility to make space and to speak for and with these people and these marginalized groups. Like that's the biggest thing, is understanding that maybe we don't know what the experience is like, but knowing that as coaches, we have a responsibility to help them through it.
Yeah, completely, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that totally awareness, agree. Awareness is first things first. And yeah, I'm excited for this though. I'm excited for a more inclusive and diverse coaching just industry and community. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, completely. And I love hearing about it. I mean, we mentioned this just before we hopped on. I love the fact that we're still talking about this, because I was saying to Lauren, like, I feel like sometimes with things in the media, these really important topics get talked about for a week and then everyone kind of goes back to business as usual.
Like, oh, well, all right, well, bye.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's go back to like the usual suspects now. And it's like, okay, but this, we're still talking about this. And thank you so much for bringing it up, Lauren, because I think we should still be talking about this for sure.
Yeah, I agree. That's why it's like every podcast interview I've had, okay, it's like, we're all coaches here. I want to make sure that this is a lifelong thing. And it's not just a trend. It's not just something that happened on social media a couple of weeks ago. It's like, this is something that's being continuously smoker voice. Jeez, I'm doing it too. You did it earlier. I'm doing it now. It's something that's continually being thought of and it's being talked about, because as coaches, we have a responsibility to make people feel heard and understood and loved, no matter what experiences they've had or no matter what perceptions are placed upon them by society.
Yes. Yeah, completely. Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
I love that all the statues and shit are being taken down and that, you know, people are being charged and things are being brought to light where this kind of behavior and this kind of systemic racism, it can't keep going on in our society, under the radar. Yeah.
Completely. And it's so powerful. Like, for example, there was a white supremacist statue in Oxford. I'm not sure if they've taken it down yet or not. But there was a scene just of a massive crowd of people, all races, all backgrounds, all everything, clapping and in unison just shouting, take it down, take it down. And I was like, oh my God, that is such a powerful image right there. Just of everyone standing in one and saying, hold on a second, this is not what we want to see on our streets anymore. I love that.
Yeah. It's like, that's different. That's definitely, that's new. That's definitely new. It's definitely different. Yeah, it's exciting. It's definitely an exciting time to be alive. It's a little crazy.
For sure.
But it's like, this is exciting. It's like, I'm ready, but I'm also a little scared at the same time.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my gosh. I have a question that I like to ask everyone at the end now. And it is, as a result of working with me, you know, we work together really closely in the mastermind and just, you know, through collabs, and I'm just so honored to know you and that you've gotten to know me as well. I'm curious to know what it means to you to hustle like a stripper, especially now, you know, having a personal relationship with one, and maybe how I might have changed your perspective or your opinion.
I love that question so much, because I guess it was never really a question that I asked myself that much before I met you, or I don't think, it's again coming down to this education point. I hadn't educated myself that much about strippers, about the lifestyle, about what you guys go through, what you experience. Not to put you all in one bracket, I know you're all individual and separate people, but just as a profession, like, what does that involve? Or like, what do you guys experience every day when you go to work, that kind of thing. And then it's so interesting, because as soon as I met you, Lauren, and you started talking, I was like, this lady has gold that I don't know where this stuff comes from. Everything that you share about manifestation, about the universe, about abundance, about everything, I'm like, you are literally a gold mine. And then the other day I saw on your Insta, you were advertising like, is it a 3-day video series?
Yes.
Yeah. And I literally, I was going to DM you. I'll just ask you right now. I was going to ask, like, as a non-stripper, is it okay for me to attend? Because everything you were talking about on there, I was like, I need this in my life.
Yes.
So there is so much synchronicity. And I, you know, it really doesn't matter whatever anybody does as a job, whether you're a stripper, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a whatever, like, what, we're human. And just everything that you talk about is stuff I want to learn about creating abundance, about confidence, about owning your worth, about stuff. I mean, I would love to have some stripper type energy sometimes. When I walk into a room sometimes and I feel like shrinking and I feel like, oh my God, and are they going to judge me? I would love to have some stripper like, oh my God, yes. Look at me, actually. Look at me right now. That's some energy I would love to embody. So, yeah, I think it's amazing to learn from you in that respect.
Ooh, I love that. And yes, you need to sign the fuck up. It is
okay.
For everybody. So you're going to love it. I love that so much because it's funny. In society and in the media, like, strippers are often portrayed as like, she's fucking coked up and she's like, you know, she's got daddy issues and all these things. It's like, you know, I feel like we all had a little bit of daddy issues for
one. Of course.
We all do. So why do strippers get the short end of the stick? And it's like, there are so many people getting fucked up all the time. Why is it only strippers that get in trouble for it, right? Or, you know, they should somehow be degraded. It's like, sorry, I make your month's salary in one fucking night. Don't hate me, you know?
Right.
You know? So it is. It's definitely a beautiful thing to get to help people tap into that kind of confidence and that kind of just unapologetic vibe. It's a cool thing. So I'm really honored that I get to help you with that and just be in that space with you. That's just so cool.
Yeah. For sure. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. My goodness. This has been a doozy. I think we covered just everything that I wanted to talk about. And you just blow me away with your knowledge and your expertise. And I could just listen to you talk in that accent all fucking day, honestly. And I know that y'all are going to love Shima just as much as I do. So I'm dropping all of her links, her Instagram, everything in the show notes. And yeah, how can people get with you? Like, what do you got?
So thank you. Yeah, drop me a DM on Instagram at Shima Jindi. I'm always on the gram. Drop me an email, info@shimajindi.com, or you can, if you go to my website, which is just shimajindi.com, there's a like a contact box there. You can get in touch with me. And yeah, a lot of how I work is how I demonstrated with the tapping, because I think with manifestation sometimes how people approach it is they're like, oh, I'll just visualize, I'll do the affirmations, I'll do this and that. But if you're doing that on top of resistance, if you're doing that on top of blocks, a lot of the time it won't work because you need to clear those blocks out first. So I'll work with you with things like the tapping and other really quick, it's not like long drawn out processes. These are quick, super powerful ways to clear the resistance, and you will get results because these are all things that I've tried and tested. So I know they work.
Oh my God, y'all, hit her up. She's the truth. I love you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
I love you too. Thank you for having me. I loved our chat. I could have just chatted like this all day. I'm like, oh my God, I love this.
I know. That's why I'm always like, damn it. I always have to keep track of time. Like, oh fuck, it's already been a damn hour. It's way too much fun.
Has it been an hour already? Wow, yeah. That was quick.
I know. That's why I'm like, damn it, I have to end it now. Fuck, that's not fair. No fun. Part 2 coming soon, y'all.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.